Today, I am interviewing one of my favorite people in the law, Scott Briscoe. He is an attorney with a very interesting point of view, and he collects, I don't know if I can say great, let's just say very interesting legal tips. And so he accumulates them and puts them on his website. He is writing a book right now over these great, interesting legal tips. So without further ado, here was that interview. This week's guest is becoming a friend of mine. I actually met him because of his incredibly cool website, where and we're going to talk about this website today, giving free legal tips, great legal tips. So welcome, Scott Briscoe. Thank you for coming back.
Joel, it's great to be back, buddy.
Now, when we last talked, it was in a different world. I was pre-pandemic, so I know things have changed quite a bit since then. How is life there in West Virginia?
Life is upside down, but it continues. It's a new environment, but people are still committing crimes and needing attorneys.
that is an interesting topic. People will say, well, how has the pandemic impacted the legal profession? People are still committing crimes, and they still have a right to a speedy trial. And, and so you still got to hold court. People are still getting divorced. I guess the civil cases might be delayed somewhat, but are you guys actually having court in person, or is it by Zoom?
It's right now, it's been a mix. In the criminal hearings or the abuse neglect hearings where we have emergency deadlines right. We have to meet, we have those hearings in person, or any hearing where there's going to be testimony offered where you have to cross-examine a witness, those are going to be in person. Everything else, status hearings, scheduling conferences, those kind of minor things are all Zoom and Skype, which is most of the time now. We're on Skype, Zoom, 2 to 3 days a week, and only in court maybe one and a half days now.
Wow. So now, like the old-fashioned docket call, do you guys do the docket calls up there in West Virginia where you have like a courtroom full of clients and lawyers just for an hour and a half waiting for your name to be called?
It's a cattle call. They all show up at 9:30, and it's people are lined up down the hallway of the courthouse.
Right.
And now it's just the courthouse is deserted.
So is that cattle call done via Zoom now, or is that done in person?
It's all done. It's not even the cattle call anymore, because now you have to schedule the hearings staggered every 15 to 30 minutes. And then every attorney, all their clients get a Zoom or a link invite.
All right.
And you have to attend remotely that way, as opposed to normally when you have 30 to 50 hearings in a day and you have a whole lot of attorneys and a whole lot of parties. The judge will take whoever's there and ready to go first. So that's how the cattle call started, was get them all here. Whoever's ready, let's get going so we don't waste any time. So now everything's scheduled every 15 to 30 minutes, and it's on a tight schedule, and it's all over the computer.
Now, I want you to come clean here, because I want my podcast to be nothing if not authentic. And I know when you show up in person at court, I think you have a near unblemished record of wearing pants. I'm assuming that's correct. Do you still have that same unblemished record when it comes to the Zoom court appearances?
Well, I have to admit to you, Joel, that my record is blemished. I actually have appeared in court in shorts.
No, really? I'm sorry. I just assumed.
It has happened. There are, and I didn't know this in law school, but you're going to end up being in court at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes in emergency hearings, or you may be called out while you're walking your dog right next to the courthouse, and you can explain to the judge, well, I'm outside right now, but I'm in shorts with my dog. So let me go home and change clothes. And the judge, nope, we need you right now. Bring the dog. Just come on.
Bring the dog.
Yeah. So my dog, Lucy, has actually appeared in magistrate court and in circuit court with me.
Wow. Your dog, Lucy, has probably got her own bar car. She probably can get her own clients.
So she does. She does. So it's much less shocking to admit now that, yes, over Zoom and Skype, I may be professional from the waist up, but it's a PJ party from the waist down.
Hey, you know what? I have been there for a long time. And I do these webinars. And so the webinars, we record these, and I am never wearing anything but bright neon orange shorts. And so I just hope and pray to God I never forget and accidentally stand up. It has not happened yet. I always make sure I hit that, off button on the video before I stand up. One of these days I'm going to forget. And actually, I did forget one time, and I was recording a class. This was not a webinar. This is just a pre-recorded class. And I stood up, and there I was in my bright neon orange shorts. I forgot to delete it. And so it played one time. My wife saw that and said, "Did you know you stood up in the middle of that class?" So we made sure to delete that scene out of the future classes. But
one of my buddies did the same thing, but he,
really?
I guess, was taller, so that when he stood up quickly, all that everyone saw were just hairy legs.
Ah.
So he did have shorts on, but they just missed that, saw the hairy legs, which may right. have been even more shocking.
that would have been shocking. Oh, there was one, you know, we got to entertain ourselves during these pandemic times. And so I'm sure, assuming we're all going on social media and whatnot. And I saw this one clip, you probably saw it as well, about this court in, I believe it was Australia. And this was the very beginning of the pandemic. And so they had all the judges appear via a Brady Bunch style of Zoom meeting. I assume, have you been on that meeting?
No, I've not seen the judge, no.
So you're on Zoom, and it's a meeting. So there's like, let's just say, 9 different squares. Everyone has their own box, if you
okay,
will.
Think yeah, of, yeah, yeah.
Think of
yeah,
a Brady yeah, Bunch kind of look. Right.
I got you.
And so you can see this judge, he's on there just looking around. He's not wearing any clothes. He has no shirt on, but you could tell he had no idea he was being recorded. Finally, he saw himself. You see the startled look on his face as he quickly then left and came back with some clothes on. But yeah, the things that we learned.
We're all coming into everyone's bedrooms now, or their even bathrooms. It's amazing where people have carried the cameras while they're on our Skype and Zoom meetings.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're learning much more about our friends and clients and where they live.
it is amazing. Now you got to be careful what is actually in the backdrop of your camera. But so how are things in West Virginia during these pandemics? I mean, let's go back, because again, it's been several months since I've talked to you. How did you entertain yourself during the, I don't know, let's just say 6 weeks, you know, right during the height of April, May, when everything was shut down? What were you doing?
Well, it was not, I won't say entertaining. I had spinal surgery right when everything shut down.
Wow.
So I had about 2 months of recovery during the initial lockdown.
That was well-timed.
So I took advantage of the lockdown where we were forced to stay home, and I just healed up.
All right.
Then I jumped back to work after that, and again, it was all remote and via Zoom. So I've had to adjust my practice. Now I don't get to meet all my clients
right.
as quickly as usual or regularly, because you can't I can't bounce from foster home to foster home anymore like I used to. So,
well, I'm hoping, and where we're getting to for our listeners is, again, you on your website have the most amazing collection of legal tips. And we're going to get there here in just a bit. But first, I want to know, you know, during these pandemic times, are you a movie buff? Do you watch movies?
Oh, yeah. Big, huge movie buff.
All right. So what would be your favorite genre of movies?
My favorite genre, I'm a big geek and a nerd, so I guess it would be horror and probably sci-fi.
All right. So Stranger Things, or is that not quite up to your level?
Oh, that calls back to my growing up in the 80s, that whole, the feel of Stranger Things,
the
vibe of it. Yeah.
All right. So I'm just curious. I'm trying to get our listeners to know you a little bit better, but sure. Vinny Gambini or Ella Wood, which one do you like better?
Oh, I might say Ella, hands down.
Ella Wood. All right. Yeah. From Legally Blonde. Great movie. Have you seen that recently?
No, I need to go back and watch that one and the sequel. It's because I watch too much serious stuff. So it's just nice to kick back and watch some comedy with
the law. It was great. So yeah, you gotta go back, and I rewatched all these legal movies in preparation for my next year's classes. So I rewatched Legally Blonde, and of course I watch Vinny Gambini, My Cousin Vinny, every single year. You can't get better than My Cousin Vinny. So my son, he who is at K-State, now he's a junior at K-State, and he would just watch My Cousin Vinny for the first time. So he get this, he texted me While he's watching, he said, "Hey, Dad, did you know that Mona Lisa Vito is the same person who played Spider-Man's mom?"
That's great.
I know. So to him, right, Marissa Tomei is known for playing Spider-Man's mom. It's like, yeah, Zach, she won an Academy Award for that. She did a really good job. I think she's known a little bit more for being Mona Lisa Vito than Spider-Man's mom. But hey.
Yeah, I was much more impressed with her knowledge of auto mechanics.
Right. Oh, she nailed it there. She nailed it. All right, how about this one? Atticus Finch or Jimmy Stewart? If you had to hire an attorney, which way would you go?
Ooh, well, actually, if you looked on my walls right now, you would see three different prints from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Ah!
So, yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Atticus on that one. Big right. Atticus fan since high school.
Isn't that who we all aspire to be, to have that Atticus Finch moment in closing arguments where we had a grovelly voice?
Now, did you read the sequel? You know that she came out with, what was the title? To Kill Harriet.
Okay, I did not know.
Yes, and I've put all my books away. But yes, she wrote a sequel. It came out about 5 years ago, and it actually goes much more into the background on Atticus.
Interesting.
And it gives you a new perspective and a new light on what was going on through his head at that time in history. It's very, very fascinating.
Yeah. So you read it?
Yes. Yes. I just, and the title I'm embarrassed is escaping my head right now. And I'm looking for the book.
I'm going to call it To Kill a Mockingbird 2, but I'm assuming that's not the title. You would have remembered that, but you know what? Somewhere in the middle of this conversation during this podcast, it'll pop up in your head and just blurt it out and we will be good there. So, all right. Well, I've been trying to tease our listeners a little bit here on these great legal tips, and that's why they probably click in or listen in. They want to get the free legal tips, and you are a fountain of knowledge when it comes to great legal tips. I mean, Solomon in the Bible, you know, wrote Proverbs, have all these pearls of wisdom.
Right.
I think you're a modern day Solomon with your great legal tips. Right.
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
All right. Well, let's go over some of them here. I got these right from your website. Free legal tips. So you don't charge for these. Great idea. You're kind of giving back to the community. Kudos to you. I applaud you for that.
I try to help. Yeah.
You try to help. Good. So let's keep this one in mind here. Free legal tip number 110. Hold off on wearing your out-on-bail shirt the day you commit a crime unless you prefer a little irony in your mugshot. All right, I love the imagery there. So in my mind, I'm viewing this guy having his mugshot with out on bail. Maybe even in a lineup where someone's got to pick him up out of a lineup. Where did you get this idea from? By the way, great tip. But where did you get this idea?
This was actually a defendant here in Boone County. That's her mugshot in the picture with that tip. And she was arrested for, I think that was the malicious assault. And if you actually go back, she is tip number 106.
Okay.
Where, after you stab someone, it's not a great idea to leave your bloody knife at the scene and that has your name etched on the blade.
Okay.
So she stabbed someone with her knife that had her name on it.
Okay, so first of all, let's just back up. If you are going to be in the criminal business, maybe not have monogrammed a weaponry. Is that a good idea?
Just don't monogram anything that you're going to use as a weapon or carry drugs in.
Okay, good idea. See, these are good tips. This is why we come to you to give you great tips. If you're going to be the criminal enterprise and commit a crime, don't monogram your the weaponry. So that's what she did, and she left it there. By the way, I have heard that is one of the best assets for law enforcement, the stupidity of criminals, that they will do these kind of things. But nonetheless, she does that, and then she's wearing an out-on-bail shirt.
Exactly. The irony, I think, escaped her.
Hey, you know what? Wardrobe is important. We talked earlier about you got to be careful what you wear when you show up in court. You don't want to wear neon orange shorts or apparently an out-on-bail T-shirt. Great idea. All right, great tip.
Exactly. And you asked exactly how I got that photo. I wasn't aware that she had been picked up that time. But I know I've told you before that since the tips have gone viral.
Right.
a lot of people will contact me immediately and say, hey, one of your clients got picked up. Or, and in this case, I had both the magistrate and his secretary send me the photo.
Really?
Hey, this is, you need this for your page. So, yeah, the material, it comes to me sometimes.
Wow. Wow. You know what? You do have to write a book. At some point in time, you got to write a book. I will buy it. I want the autographed version because I think I love reading your tips. All right. And tip number 68. One more. Okay, this is for juvenile correction officers. When seducing a juvenile in your custody, do not leave a paper trail. All right, that makes sense. I get that. Or email or text a trail or a call trail. And finally, you threw in for good measure or a video trail. So this guy left all of those kinds of trails when he seduced a juvenile?
It was more interesting. It was two female corrections officers seducing and helping a male 18-year-old. He was charged with murder when he was 17.
All right.
He was still in custody by the time he turned 18.
Okay.
And the two corrections officers had developed a relationship with him and planned his escape. And he intentionally banged up his hand. He, I don't know if he hit the wall or whatever, but he had to be taken to the hospital.
So no, wait a second. Let me back up here. I don't want to miss this. The two correction officers planned the escape of this juvenile defendant, if you will.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now,
allegedly.
Now, was there a romantic thing going on between these two correction officers?
One of the COs did admit that she did make out with him on his 18th birthday.
Okay. Oh, on his 18th birthday.
In the facility. Yes.
All right. Because I wonder if they're going to have a competition between the two, and there's going to be another. Oh, but nonetheless, let's move on here. Go on with your story.
So once he bangs his hand, he gets to the hospital, then he escapes. He was supposed to make it to one of those COs, one of the corrections officers' homes.
Okay.
And they were to hang out there for, I think, for a weekend and then disappear somewhere after that. But they, like I said, had left a trail of text and emails and calls and videos, and were quickly caught and charged and arrested. So, and it's pending now. Yeah.
Wow. That was very nice of them. I'm sure law enforcement was appreciative of those trails. Really helped make their job easier. Maybe they can get home for dinner on time. Makes their spouses happy. Yeah. Go ahead and leave a video trail. That would just helps matters out.
And Joel, that's actually one of my last tips. The tip number 68 you referred to was another incident that happened a couple of years ago. So these girls were COs when that happened, and they were aware of this tip because I know they followed the page. So
back up. They follow your page?
Yes.
And then they went ahead and committed this act anyways. Did I hear you right?
Yes, you heard me right.
Wow. That is amazing. They follow your page. They saw that tip, and they actually took it to heart. All right. Well, you know what? Interesting. They have no defense. They have absolutely zero defense. They should have known better.
I tried to tell them a long time ago, Joel.
That is funny. That is funny right there. All right. Free legal tip number 109. When the judge asks you if you've learned anything helpful in your court-ordered therapy, all right, here's the answer that apparently was given. Yes, anal rape is when you stick a foreign object in someone's anus is not the answer he is expecting. All right, give us the background here.
All right, this kid, he's about 16, and he's got all kinds of behavior problems. And he'd been out. The judge had tried every least restrictive alternative. He tried probation. He tried home confinement. He tried everything. And nothing was working, and he was out of control. So now he's in an inpatient facility receiving therapy. And one of those components of his therapy is he had a sex offender assessment.
Okay.
So that's where this came up. So we have our first status hearing over Zoom with the judge.
All right.
To ask, how are things going in therapy? You know, it's progressing. What are you learning? So literally the first thing that the judge said was, well, son, tell me, you know, how's therapy going? What have you learned in therapy? And that's the very first thing that my kid just blurts out.
Wow. Yes, Your Honor. Listen to what I learned. This is my homework for the day. Anal rape is when you stick a four. I cannot believe that.
Yeah, it was. And again, those are the moments that you got to have a sense of humor, and it just makes my day because it just. Wow. I know it's absurd, and I know it was kind of a shock value thing, but.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? If you weren't paying close attention before then, your eyes popped open very wide when you heard that answer. And then I wonder if the follow-up was, what else have you learned? Or did they just shut it down right then?
Well, I kind of stepped in, I recall, and I was like, let's talk about some of the positive things that you've learned in treatment and how to deal with your issues.
Right. Okay, good.
Just try to steer them back on track and away from the saucy stuff.
That works. All right, next one here is, if you want to intimidate an attorney in court, don't show up with this in hand. And then you show a picture of a book called Law for Dummies. And is that a true story?
True story. This was a pro se respondent in a case, and they did not hire counsel. Pro se is when someone represents themselves in court, which I recommend no one ever do.
Right.
But she was pro se, and I'm getting on the elevator with her. And there she's holding her Law for Dummies book in hand. Yeah. So
that might not have the desired effect. Yeah, you might be thinking, all right, we know you are prepared, well prepared. Hey, do you ever watch the show Suits? Suits. Have you ever seen that law show, Suits?
No. Never saw Suits.
All right, let me just, one of the scenes there is absolutely ridiculous. It is here, picture this scene. So you have a law firm that they only hire Harvard, lawyers. That's it. You had to graduate from Harvard to be a lawyer in this law firm. So they're having this, they're at some lawyer's partner's office. And so he's interviewing all these various lawyers for potential jobs. And there on this partner's desk is a Barbary notebook. And I'm going, really? I'm just doubting in a Harvard law office at the partner on the partner's desk, he has a Barbary notebook that he's using for his legal research. Just an assumption I'm making. Maybe I didn't graduate from Harvard, so I don't know. Maybe that's what they use.
Yeah, sometimes you really have to suspend your belief to watch some of these legal shows and how they can wrap things up quickly or. It's funny.
crazy stuff. All right. Free legal tip of the day. Number 108, when fighting for the return of your child due to your drug use that you deny, by the way, please don't text all of your contacts. Hey, who got some kick-ass weed for sale without first making sure that your child's CPS worker isn't one of your contacts. Hey, you know what? This is a great legal tip. Thank you very much for this.
Don't ever do that, Joel. Don't ever do that.
That's a bad idea. You got to be careful when you hit a send all. Who is on that all? Very, very. That is go on.
It was kind of disappointing to find out the CPS worker did not have any kick-ass weed.
Really?
She had no weed at all.
Oh, my goodness. See? Got to get better contacts there, but nonetheless, interesting. All right, let's go to the next one here. Free legal tip of the day, number 107. When listing your relationship to the respondent in a domestic violence protective order petition, it's okay to list that you are dating. Volunteering that he's also your first cousin is just superfluous. All right, what's the backstory on that?
Yeah, I got the call right away from the clerk's office. Scott, you got to see this one.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, they had gotten into a domestic. Some violence occurred, and one of them came in to have a restraining order filed against the other. And you have to list what your relationship is in there.
Right.
And typically it's husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, which in this case applied. They were dating, but then he had to go on a list. Oh, and by the way, we're cousins.
cousins.
Yeah.
Wow. All right,
there's no space for that, but he added it.
Oh, there was no space, but he just wanted to offer up that information.
And we're cousins, yeah.
Oh, I got to keep that in mind. That is amazing. All right. Have you ever thought about branching out? I know you're giving free legal tips. What about, I don't know, political tips? Have you ever thought about branching out?
No, I don't even want to step foot into the political arena right now. That's just too hot of a topic me to touch.
It also might, maybe it'd be too easy. I mean, you would be writing all day long. Let me just change course here just a bit. I know we've gone over some of your great legal tips. And by the way, I would be curious if you had any favorite ones you want to just throw out there for our listeners. But I want to just change pace here just a bit. And I have some stories of clients who are in need of some better legal advice. And so let me give you their story to see if you have any tips for them. All right. Will that work?
Sure. Right.
Did you hear about the guy who robbed a bank and the stick-up note, if you will, what he actually handed the teller saying, hey, give me all of your money, was the backside of his DMV receipt. Apparently just come from the Department of Motor Vehicles.
I saw that one? Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with never leave a paper trail, especially when it has your name on it. Like the one tip I had where the client was stealing an ATV, but it was a broken down ATV. So they're halfway down the road with it and it breaks down. So they called a tow truck to come and get them and the stolen ATV. They give them their name, they give them their address. So it was pretty easy for the law to track them down. Same as this guy, when you're going to hand the victim your address, your phone number, your name. Yeah. Makes it hard on defense counsel. So do not leave a paper trail.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been the detective in that case? I would have loved to have seen his face when he's looking over the evidence. And you know, in his mind, he's probably going, all right, let's see here. What kind of clues can we gather from the scene as to who might have done this? Let's see here. Oh, we got his name and address, make of car, and a driver's license. Okay, that's a good start. Let's start there.
That helps. That's the smoking gun. That's it right there.
That would be good. All right. How about this next one? The guy in Florida was pulled over. All right, now, I'm going to just ask you here. If you're a cop and you pulled a car over and there is a bag in the front seat of that car labeled bag full of drugs. All right. You got that?
Got it.
What would you think would not be in that bag?
Drugs?
Wouldn't you think so? I mean, come on. I mean, on the passenger seat of your car is a bag labeled bag full of drugs. Well, the cop pulled this guy over for whatever reason. I don't know if it's broken taillights or speeding or whatever. Pulls him over, sees that bag there, opens it up, thinks he has probable cause. And yes, it was a bag full of drugs. And so surely there's got to be a tip there somewhere for your listeners.
Oh, there is. There are tips. And I've addressed this before. I've had clients who were caught that transported their weed in clear containers, clear mason jars. And I've had to explain, carry your weed in packages that you cannot see through.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's like, you know what? Yeah, if you're going through Colorado, just still not a good idea. Just make sure it's all covered up. But, yeah, don't put it on the passenger seat and then label it with a label maker. Just not a good idea. Don't go there.
Sign, probable cause found right here.
Right. Oh, I taught a class yesterday for a group here in Kansas City, and it was my Darwinian Awards class where I hand out awards for the lawyers who soon will be departing from us because they obviously are not, you know, the strongest of the strong. They're pretty much on the weak side. And one story I had of this lawyer who was disbarred was from Florida. And yeah, he advised his clients who were growing marijuana in their backyard to put up a sign in their front yard announcing marijuana grows here. My thought was, would you not have loved to have been in the conversation between the magistrate and the police officer when he sought a warrant? Right?
I can't even. They make it so easy sometimes. It's just comical. Yeah. It is, you cannot make it up. These are my tips. These are all true.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, the magistrate would have said something like, well, what is your evidence? Why do you think there's a crime going on at this site? And the police officer would have said, well, Your Honor, they put a sign out front saying, please be quiet, crime in progress. And so that might be probable cause. I guess that is my suggestion.
I would have to agree with them on that one.
All right. And, you know, one might even say, if we put in our lawyer hats here, one might even say with this guy who had the bag labeled bag full of drugs, One could argue that that actually was not probable cause of a crime, because who would be that stupid? I mean, sure, that had to have been in jest, right? Irony. You wouldn't.
Well, let's see. I have 111 tips, so that means there are at least 111 people out there.
Okay, all right, all right. Good point. Good point. There are some stupid people out there, so this might be an indication that a crime has been committed. All right. Well, let's.
You had asked earlier if I had any other of my favorite tips I wanted to share.
Yeah.
I have two that kind of go hand in hand. I'm going to bounce back to number 8. I don't think we discussed this the last time. Was do not plan your next felony over your jail pod phone under the sign that says all phone calls are monitored and recorded.
Wow.
And this is why I had to give this tip. The defendant in the case, he gets arrested, goes to jail, obviously.
Right.
He calls his mom, his mother. He calls his mom from the jail phone.
That's fine.
Knows it's being recorded and monitored. So, mom, here's what I want you to do. They're going to bring me to court on this date and this time. You come an hour early and wrap me up a plug of tobacco and some weed, stick some pills in there, and go on the elevator, grab some duct tape, and stick it to the inside of the rail in the elevator. So that way, when the COs bring me in, I'll back up to the wall and stick my hand under the rail and grab the plug and stick it down my shorts.
Wow. Wow.
So what do you think mom's reaction was to this, Joel?
That's my first thought was, he's bringing his mom in. I'm thinking chocolate chip cookies. That's what I would have requested. But he's wanting his mom. Surely his mom would have said, no way, Junior, I brought you up better than this.
Joel, I wish I could tell you she said that. I really wish I could tell you she said that. That is not what she said.
Oh, tell me she didn't do it.
Bless her heart, that Southern term. She did what her son requested, and she got some weed, some tobacco, some pills, wrapped them up in the plug, and right to the courthouse she went. And of course, because there's a sign that says it was being recorded and monitored, it actually was being recorded and monitored.
Wow.
So the law enforcement was aware. So, and I'm there with the judge, the prosecutor, because we're all brought in to watch as my client's mother came in the elevator over the camera, and we watched her plant the drugs there. She gets off the elevator where she's promptly arrested, and then her son's brought to the next hearing, and he had no idea that mom's already been there, got caught and arrested. So he goes on and he's groping around trying to find the plug of drugs in the elevator and couldn't figure out why. Well, he quickly found out why the drugs weren't there. Yeah, so he and mom both, he grabbed new charges, and mom grabbed her first set of charges on that day.
Oh, no. Did she spend any time for that?
Just a short, small bit of time. She was out on bond fairly quickly and pled it down and paid some costs and fines.
Wow.
But because she was harmless, a little older lady. And,
right.
Who just loved her son very, very much.
Wanted to do it.
Yeah. So, and again, you'd think, I'll put that tip out there, plus the sign is there. But no, then we come to tip number, I think it was 53.
Okay.
Yeah, 53. After convincing the judge to let you leave jail for a relative's funeral, do not call your cousin from your jail pod phone under the sign stating your calls are monitored and recorded, asking him to drop the drugs in said deceased relative's casket for you to retrieve.
Oh, my goodness.
So did you follow all of that?
Wow. Wow. And obviously, these prisoners do not trust these signs. They don't know how to read, but they're assuming that they're just kidding when they say that this conversation might be recorded. And drugs, I guess, are, you want to put drugs in where the deceased is laying and then just
grab... In the coffin.
In the coffin.
That was going to be, instead of an elevator in this one, this time it was a relative's casket. So, and the judge, we have very good judges here who are understanding if a defendant has a very close loved one that's passed away, they do let them out on a pass.
Right.
Just to come to the funeral and then back to jail.
Okay.
But once the phone call was made to the cousin, hey, leave the drugs in the coffin, the jail contacts the prosecutor, calls me in, calls the judge in, and we all listen to it together. Right. So the day of the funeral comes, and the judge changes the order from the directions to take the defendant to the funeral to directly to the courthouse.
Oh, no.
The defendant didn't even know that he was caught. So he jumps in the transport car thinking, I'm going to this funeral to get me some drugs. And so eventually when the cruiser takes the wrong left and then another wrong left, he's like, hey, y'all, my funeral's that way. And they didn't say a word.
Oh, and no.
They escorted him right into the courthouse, into the courtroom, and the judge has the call ready to just hit play
when he
walks in. And he just hits play, and you can hear the defendant start planning it over that phone.
Oh.
And he just puts his head down, and he knows, yeah, he's busted.
So the moral of that story is, yes, read those signs. Those signs actually mean something. They will listen to those calls. Do not plan out your next criminal enterprise using those phones. That is a great legal tip there, Scott. That's why they pay you the big bucks. That's
a repeater. I've had to repeat that one a couple times. That's an important one, Joel. That's an important one.
Don't leave a paper trail, and don't plan your next crime out. Yeah, these apparently, you got to keep it going over and over, but that's why you stay in business, because all these crazy legal situations and scenarios that happen out there. Have you seen any crazier crimes happen because of the pandemic, or have things just kind of played out normal?
Actually, things have slowed down as far as I don't do as much criminal defense. Mainly, I represent juvenile defendants now.
Right. Okay.
But because of the pandemic, there's been no school. Ah. And with no school, there is a sharp decline in the appointment of defendants I've had on the juvenile side. So that has actually slowed things down.
All right, interesting. Well, before we close out this interview, I'm always just curious as to how people are handling the pandemic. So do you know, are schools reopening there in West Virginia? Are businesses reopening? How is life looking out there in West Virginia?
We are in the process of trying to start school next week, and it's going to be on a weird schedule where a group of students go to school on Monday and Tuesday. No school on Wednesday, so the school has a deep cleaning every Wednesday. And then a different group of students go on Thursdays and Fridays.
All right.
And all students have the option to either do that or to do virtual learning at home.
All right. And that's going to start next week.
Yes. And then as far as the businesses, most businesses are open. However, a lot of the restaurants are carry out or pick up only.
And have you gone out to venture to eat at a restaurant?
Mainly I do the pickup and the carry out, and I'm doing the social distancing, and I wear the mask, and I'm constantly washing my hands.
Right.
So I'm taking it seriously. And there's a mix of people here, just like everywhere, that are following the guidelines. Some aren't. It's a mix, but COVID is here. I know people personally that have been hospitalized. One of my friends from school was on a vent for 50 some days. So I know people who suffer from it. So I'm taking it seriously. And most of the community here is.
Good. Yeah, we
and I'm hoping we're on the upswing.
I have to think we are. I've been watching these stats like a hawk pretty much every day for the last 4 months. And I've been watching them as they go up and as they go down. And they have been consistently going down since they peaked right after the Memorial Day spike. You know, once they hit that high point, maybe at the beginning of July, they've been steadily going down, down, down. Now, one would expect a little bit of a spike here as kids go back to school. So we'll have to see how that plays out. My son has been back in school for 3 weeks now. And
how's he doing?
Yeah, zero cases so far in the private school. Because in Kansas, the public schools have not opened, but private schools, they went ahead and opened up on time. And we've had zero cases in 3 weeks. Now, they've been very vigilant on, you know, taking people's temperature. My son had a headache one day, so he couldn't go back to school for 3 days because you had to wait, make sure you were symptom-free for 3 days. You know, all that kind of stuff. So they've been very vigilant. Sure. Our fingers are crossed that people don't get sloppy. Things are going well. We can stop following these protocols. Well, no, they're going well. because you're following the protocol, so keep it up, and then we should be okay at the end of the day. But I just did tennis season. I played in a tennis league, and I coached a tennis league for my son. And we did that for the last 2 months, and no problems whatsoever. In fact, the local news channel came out and recorded us playing tennis just to kind of show some report was out that tennis was the safest outdoor sport to do because you're not in close contact. It's all sure. outside. So right. as long as you're social distancing, and then wearing your mask when you enter and leave the facility, it should be okay. And it was at least for those three leagues. So, all right.
Now, right here, they have already they're going to start football.
Okay.
And they've allowed initially they weren't going to let the bands play, but kind of made no sense. You're going to let the football players get face to face and spit on each other, basically, but the band members can't be out there. So there was a backtrack. So now the band gets to come out at the halftime. So everybody
interesting.
Gets to play.
Now yeah. I'm a band player and I also played football. I would not want to be in the line right in front of the trombones. That's all I'm saying. that spit valve might make me a little bit nervous, but as long as you keep mm-hmm. that spit valve away from me, I guess I might be okay.
Right.
No. I played saxophone in the band, and so I was just eye candy. No one could hear the saxophone. I don't even know why we were out there. But
are you kidding me? That's the sexy instrument.
It
saxophone.
Is.
All the ladies love it.
For jazz band, right? But not for concert band. You know what can hear with the trumpets? It's called the drum and bugle corps for a reason. All you can hear are the drums and the brass. No one can actually hear the woodwinds, but you're right. Come rock band. Who you calling? You're calling for the sax player. And so at least we can do that. But hey, thank you so much for joining us today. As always, I love hearing your stories and hope to have you on in the future to get some great free legal tips. So thank you very much, Scott.
Hey, Joel, I've had a blast again, and call me anytime. Happy to share my tidbits of legal wisdom.
Hey, and they are worth every penny. All right, thanks so much. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. We need your love to help us continue highlighting the funnier side of the law. I want to give a special shout out to our Vice President of Operations, Wendy Oster, without whom this entire operation would be a mess. Sean Nguyen and 15.5 Features for making me sound way better than I actually do. And Ryan Kuhn and Paul Kuhn of Triplicity Marketing for our technical and computer support.